We all have promises that we have that we want to see fulfilled in our lives. We have prophecies that have been spoken over us, promises that we are waiting for. And I don't know about you, but I have a very difficult time waiting. I get very impatient, and the Lord had to check me on that. He said, don't have the Sarah syndrome. Some of you got that. You're impatient. Let me do what I need to do in my timing. Step back from this. Know that I'm going to do things my way. No service that we are in is ever the same. No miracle is ever the same. I even looked at Buddy and I said, my miracle is going to be greater than your miracle. I'm very competitive that way, even in miracles. But I got my miracle when I saw Bridget come into the ICU 1 o'clock in the morning, and she was tending to me, and the Holy Spirit said, tell her that her grandmother has been praying for her. I said, okay. You know, it's good when God can trust you. Just say, okay, God, I'll do it. I said, Bridget, your grandmother's been praying for you. And she said, how did you know that? I said, the Lord just told me. I said, you need to give your heart to the Lord. And she said, yes, I do. And she began to cry, and Buddy was there, and we led her into the sinner's prayer right there at the Duke ICU. And Buddy said, we were getting ready to do communion with some crackers and juice. She said, oh, can I join you? Isn't that just like Jesus? To do things in an unlikely way? Isn't that just like Jesus to be born in a stable? Something that we would never expect, but that Jesus born in a stable would raise up to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He does it His way. So when we have promises that God has given us, we are tempted many times that if it doesn't work out the way that we thought it should work out, we're just going to dig a hole and we're just going to bury it. Just forget about it. Wasn't meant to be anyway. Oh, but there was a woman who had radical faith. And can I get a witness from some of our women this morning? We've got some radical faith in the house. You are the ones who push our men to have radical faith. You know, we know how to push. And the men would say, amen. And Tommy said a double amen. Amen. There was a woman in 2 Kings, the Shunammite woman, that she knew the man of God, Elisha, and he would come by the area of Shunam, and she told her husband, like Jackie, you know, Jackie has a talent to build things and to tear walls down and to build more rooms. Have you noticed that? She could be a little Shunammite woman over here. Well, the Shunammite woman looked at her husband and said, we need to make a room for Elisha. He's a man of God. I want him here in my house. I want you to build a room, and I want you to put a bed and a lampstand and a chair. I want you to make him comfortable. And what did her husband say? Yes, ma'am. That's what Hans says. Yes, Jackie. Yes. We'll tear down that wall. Yes. So she made room for the anointing. When you make room for the anointing like we did today, and what Hans and Jackie have done here in this entire church, you've made room for the anointing. When you make room for the anointing, uncommon things begin to happen. Miracles begin to happen when the anointing is in the house. So she made room for the anointing, and he looked at Gehazi and he said, is there something special you can do for her? You know, isn't that just like God? When you make room for the anointing, he says, let me come in and heal you. Let me come in and give you something special. You've made room for me. So he was doing the same thing with the anointing. What can we do for her? And Gehazi said, she doesn't have a son. He said, well, that's it. And that's where we pick up the story in 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 15. And Elisha said, go call her. And he had called her, and she stood at the doorway. And he said, about this time next year, you will embrace a son. It's important what she did and what he did. He called her, and she stood right at the threshold. Many of us today are standing at the threshold of our miracle, and we have a choice. Do we step over and cross in, or do we step back and say, oh God, I'm not worthy? Really, she was at this threshold, and she said, no, my Lord, man of God, don't lie to your maidservant. Are you kidding, God? You're going to do what? Well, that's just impossible. I will tell you one thing. God will never ask you to do something possible. It's always impossible. We serve an impossible God who loves coming in to every situation and saying, you say it's impossible? Not with me. I'm God. And you know what happened? He said, but the woman conceived and she bore a son at the appointed time which Elisha had told her. That was her promise. Her son was her promise. She held this promise. She nurtured this promise. She sang to this promise. She spoiled this promise. She doted over this promise. Look what the Lord has done. Ooh, you know that one. She'd go around the house just, look what the Lord has done. Aren't you beautiful? You're the most handsome boy. Giving him that courage, giving him that confidence. He's my promise. Look what God gave to me. Then something unusual happened. Unusual. Her promise was thriving, was doing great. And then there came a time, it said in verse 18, the child grew, and now it happened that one day he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said, my head, my head. Theologians think he was about 12 years old. He was in the harvest fields, and he probably had a heat stroke. And the servant said, carry him to his mother. Take him and brought him to his mother. And he sat on her knees until about noon. And then he died. He died. The promise that God had given her, the promise that she had nurtured. I've been there. The ministry that God had called us to, the ministry that God had nurtured in us for 20 years was teetering last year. It looked like at any time that promise was going to die. The promise that he had given us that our ministry would go to the four corners of the world and we would see all of the signs, the wonders, the healing, the deliverances, everything that had been promised over us. In a split moment, it looked like that promise was going to die because it looked like I was going to die. And you're at this place, and you have a choice, and you're looking at this promise. And this woman, when I read her story, and every time I read this story, this incredible woman of radical faith, that when she had this promise on her knees, and he died, she could have gone over. And she could have looked at the servant and she could have said, I just want you to dig a hole. I'm just going to bury him and I'm going to go on. But this woman did something incredible. She went back to where she knew the anointing lived. She went back to that room. She carried him, picked him up, and she laid him on the bed of Elisha's bed. And she laid him there, fixed him up, looked at him and said, I'll be back. Then she walked out and she shut the door. She shut the door on every fear, every doubt, every unbelief, every lie of the enemy. She slammed the door. My promise may be lying in there dead, but I am going to go to the man of God. When you get the doctor's report, when you get the phone call at 12 o'clock in the morning, when your kids are on drugs, or when you get the report that you have cancer, you have a choice. You could say, God, I'm just going to dig a hole and I'm going to jump in there and just cover me up. Or you could just say, wait a minute. I'm going to the man of God. This is my promise, and I will not bury my promise. She looked at her husband and she said, I need a servant, I need a donkey, and I'm going to go to Mount Carmel. And he said, what's going on? It's not time to worship God. But she was on a mission. You never get in front of a Holy Ghost-filled woman on a mission. She will plow you down. On a mission. She looked at the servants and she said, saddle the donkeys and make haste and don't stop for anything. She knew in her heart that she had to get to the man of God and don't stop. You see, my promise is up there and I need a miracle. My promise doesn't have any life in it and I've got to have God breathe some life in it. Now get to the man of God and get to him in a hurry. And her husband just walks out and he said, is it well? She could have had a meltdown. She could have been wringing her hands and saying, you don't understand. God gave me this promise and now he's dead and I feel so alone. She could have had a pity party right there. We can all have pity parties. And sometimes we do. And sometimes we just have to pick ourselves up. But she looked at him in faith and she said, it is well. Even though she knew her promise was lying up there lifeless and dead, she said, it is well. She made a confession, and she knew what she needed to do. You see, Elisha was on Mount Carmel. Now, Mount Carmel was the place that Elijah, the predecessor before, had received the great victory. Victory had come when fire had been called down from heaven and all the prophets of Baal had been totally destroyed. There was victory at Mount Carmel, and she knew that she needed to get to her place of victory. I want to tell you, there was a mountain 2,000 years ago named Calvary, that is where we had our victory. We are fighting from our victory, not to our victory. When Jesus Christ laid his arms out and bled and died, the wrath of God was taken on our behalf. We had the victory. So we can say, Satan, you cannot take your wrath out on me. It was taken care of 2,000 years ago. Buddy and I would do communion every day, and we would thank him for the healing, and we would thank him for the miracles that we were getting ready to see, with a little cracker and juice. And we would hold up that cracker and we would say, Jesus, your body was broken so that our body doesn't have to be broken. And we take it and we do it in remembrance of you. And then we would hold that little cup of juice up and we would say, by your stripes and the blood of Calvary, we are healed. And then we put a little kicker in there. We'd hold up that little cup and we would say, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. That's exactly where she knew she had to go. She had to go to the place of victory. And it says, the Bible says that she had gone and Gehazi had run out to meet her. And Elisha said, the man of God saw her from afar off. In verse 25, he saw her and he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, please run now and meet her. Is it well with her? Is it well with her? And she said, it is well. And she came to the man of God and she caught him by the feet. She knelt at Jesus' feet, symbolic of Jesus' feet, saying, Jesus, if you don't come through for me, then my miracle is going to die. She was at the feet of the anointing. She was at his feet so humbly saying, I've got to have a miracle. You don't understand the promise that you gave me. There's no life in it, but I'm relying on you. And it said that she grabbed his feet. Oh, isn't it so wonderful when we can be at the feet of Jesus? We've been at the feet of Jesus this morning. We've poured out, we've emptied out, we've been broken so that we can get rid of all of that junk in our lives. And we can just empty everything out at his feet. And we say, it is well. It is well. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I just know that you're going to do it. And he said, okay, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go back to the house. And paraphrasing, we go back, and it says in verse 32, Elisha came to the house. There was the child lying dead on his bed. And he went in, therefore, and he shut the door. He shut the door behind the two of them, and he prayed to the Lord, and he went up, and he laid on the child. He put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. I'm telling you, he became personal with this promise. He stretched himself out over this child. And I know today that Jesus has stretched himself out over us today. We have felt his breath. We have felt his hands. We have felt his very presence today. I declare that he has stretched out over us today to breathe life into our promise. Our promise that seems to be dead. He's breathing life. We have a personal Jesus who lays and stretches himself over us and broods over us and tells us, raise up. How many times did he tell us that this morning? Rise up. Rise up. Every dead thing, every dead promise, rise up. It's time that we rise up under the anointing and the power of God. When things look totally dead and decimated, you know, I go back to the story of Lazarus. And we see that in John, and Mary and Martha send the news to Jesus. Your best friend, Lazarus, is really sick. We need you to hurry. And yeah, I'm pretty good at snapping my fingers. Hurry, I've got a brain tumor here. They're going to be shaving my head. Hurry, got to do something fast. Because, you know, I feel like Jesus and I are just like this. But, oh, he wanted to do something a little differently. So what did Jesus do? He waits. He waits for 4 days. Well, Jesus, why would you do something like that? He's your best friend, and now he's dead. So Jesus makes the scene, and Martha runs out, and she says, where have you been? How many times have we looked up to heaven, and we say, Jesus, where are you? I was there. And we're just like that. But I didn't feel that at the time. Where are you? I remember lying in the hospital bed before the surgery at 3 a.m. in the morning, and I heard this vile voice. Have you ever heard the voice of the enemy? So, I said, this present, this doesn't seem right. That doesn't sound like Jesus. So, you laid hands on them and they were healed. Lay hands on yourself. God, you're talking to me. Do you see the devil's talking to me like that? What are you going to do about it? And then you would think that I would get up, this mighty spirit-filled woman that lays hands on people, and I see demons cast out. I see miraculous miracles. What did I do? I began to cry. I'm crying alone. I'm having a real pressing moment. That Gethsemane moment comes back to me as I was there at the tree crying out, "Not my will, but yours be done." And I'm like, "God, what did I say? What did I say? Did I actually sell everything out? Is this what it's come to? Me alone with a brain tumor? Is this what it's come to, God? Pressing. Where are you?" Hot tears streaming down my face. And then, about an hour later, I must have fallen asleep and awoke this sweet, sweet voice. "Do you trust me?" "Do you trust me? Oh, Jesus, there you are. Where have you been?" Well, I just needed to wait a little while. Because you see, he said, "I am well able to deliver you from this. But if you will allow me to walk with you through the fire, I will receive all of the glory." Oh, God. So that means I'm going to have to go through this? Yeah. But just trust me. Okay? It's you and me, God. It's you and me. Here we go. We're going to do this thing, God. Yeah. And you're going to tell my people how I walked with you through the fire. Because many times they are in the fire and they feel alone, but I am walking right by their side. Tell them when they're in the fire, I am there with them. They will come through and they will not smell like smoke, and they will have a testimony of my glory, of my strength, of my power. And the world will see how you have walked through the fire, something that should have destroyed you. They will see my hand has lifted you up and delivered you. They will see me through this. That's exactly what happened with Lazarus and Jesus. She comes and she grasps his feet. "Where have you been?" And Jesus begins to weep. Oh, groaning. Oh, God. God, let them see your great power. Let them see you. See, it had become commonplace for Jesus to heal. Commonplace for him to open the eyes of the blind, to open the ears of the deaf, to even raise the lame, but to raise a dead person? Oh. God says, "Now I'm going to show off a little bit. I prophesy over you. God's getting ready to show off. He's getting ready to show off in ways like you can't even comprehend. He's getting ready to show off, because that same Jesus that stood at the tomb of a stinking man, a dead stinking man, and said, "Lazarus, come forth." That same Jesus is standing at the tomb of your buried promises. And he's saying, "Come forth. Come forth." Would you stand with me this morning? Come forth. Everything that you have buried, every dead talent, ability, gifting, I pray to come forth out of you. God needs your talents. He needs your abilities. He needs your gifting. What's getting ready to happen? Do you understand this dispensation that we're getting ready to walk into? We are being prepared for the coming of the Lord. That's why we've had to go through the fire. We've had to be prepared. Otherwise, we would just crack and break. We've had to be tempered so that we could be weapons used in this mighty army. You see, before I was born, Jesus came to my mother in a dream. And he said, the child that you're carrying is anointed of me. And she's going to do great exploits in my name for the kingdom of God. Well, the devil heard that too. So when we got the promise in 2017 from a mighty woman of God, she said, I see that your ministry is going to a new dimension, a new level. That was our, we knew what God was saying. We're going to a higher, loftier place. We're going to see him do grandiose things, great exploits. That promise that Jesus gave my mother in the dream, we're going to see even greater exploits. And at the time that our ministry was poised to go to that new dimension, the enemy said, I'll destroy her. I'll kill Buddy first, then I'll kill her. That was the promise. And my mother, walking in a field, when I was diagnosed with this brain tumor, she said, I remind you, Jesus, the promise that you gave to my daughter in my womb. Honor your word. Honor your word. See, the enemy thought that he could kill Jesus and he'd be done with him. But what hell sent to destroy Jesus, it failed. What hell sent to destroy you failed. Destroyed your family, it failed. What hell sent to destroy me and Buddy and this ministry, it failed. Because you see, we have a prophecy that Dove Song Ministries is going to soar. Holding on to that promise, I'll not bury that promise. And you will not bury your promise today. When you leave here, you'll say, I have a promise. The prophecies that have been set in motion, Satan, you can't touch this. You may press me on every side, but when you are pressed, the sweetest, purest anointing will come out of you, Tommy. When you're pressed, the anointing begins to flow in areas and ways that you can't even conceive. So if you are being pressed, if you're going through the fire, I just want you to raise your hands and I want you to say, God, I thank you for the pressing. I thank you for the fire because you are preparing me and shaping and molding me in the forge to be the man and the woman of God that you have called me to be. And when I come out of this fire, I will make the devil regret the day that he even threw me in it. Amen. Give him praise and give him glory. Now, with every head bowed and your eyes closed, and if you are here under the sound of my voice and you don't know Jesus, you don't know the one, the fourth man who can walk with you through that fire, he is here to deliver you, to set you free, to change your life. If you say, hey, that's me, you can just raise your hand and you can say, I want to give my heart and life to this man. Yes, I see that hand. Thank you. Are there others? Yes, I see that hand. Thank you. Yes, I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. He is here. That same Jesus that gave his life for you is here. Now, I just want you to say this prayer after me. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come and live in my heart. I want to be your child. From this day forward, now use me as a mighty weapon in this army that you are preparing for your coming. I surrender everything to you right now. If the altar workers would come and stand, please. Those of you who raised your hands, if you'll just come forward, we want somebody to pray with you, to minister to you. They want to give you something special, it's not joining a church, it's giving your life to Jesus. You've come into a wonderful family today. Wonderful family that Jesus' arms are reaching out, ready to embrace you today. You can come at any time in the altar service. You can come now, or you can come in just a few moments. But we recognize you, and we recognize that you've given your heart to the Lord. Tell somebody how good it is. Now, to change the order of the service, if you need special prayer, or if you're just saying, Veronica, I've just buried my promise, and I just need Jesus to speak life back into me today. I need him to breathe over me today. I need to be renewed. I just need a special touch. This altar is open, and we're going to pray with you as long as it takes. As long as it takes, we are here today because this is the beginning of a revival. A revival that should quicken us, that should stir us to the very core to say, God, we're not content to stay like we are. We're ready to be revived. We're ready to be bold. We're ready to go into this region, and we're ready to take back what is rightfully ours. But if that's you, this altar is open, and we want you to come, and we're here to pray for you right now.
Thank you guys for watching or listening online today. I pray this service was a great blessing to you. You know, the greatest question you'll ever be asked in your life is, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you serving the Lord with all of your heart? You know, my main goal in preaching, my main goal in providing these online services is to see people accept Christ and come to a vibrant relationship with God. So right now, if you've never accepted him into your heart, why don't you pray this prayer with me and ask him in? It's that simple. You just say, Lord, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. And God will make a dramatic change in your heart. And let's pray this right now. If you are ready to accept the Lord into your heart, you want to ask him in, just pray this prayer with me right now. Father, in Jesus' name, come into my life. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I give you all of my sin, all of my past, and I pray you wash it away and make something beautiful of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer, I believe God has come into your life and has done something amazing in your heart. Continue to follow us online. We would love to continue to be a blessing to you and your family.